Welcome back to Matt Finn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to respond to Robert of West Allis's excellent question. And he asked, where does prosecutorial discretion come from? And number two, what can you do if you have a prosecutor who won't prosecute a meritorious case? And it's an excellent question. It's not in the Constitution, but it's part of the common law of our court system going back into the 18th century. And that prosecutors can't bring every case. So the theory is that they'll bring typically ones against the big guys, the important ones. But what happens if you have a crooked prosecutor who's bribed? What happens if you have a lazy prosecutor? What happens if you have a prosecutor who's scared and had death threats against him and his family? What is the remedy? There is a remedy. Let me give you some of them, and then I'm going to make a proposal. First of all, there are people who will kill judges and jurors, and there's a way to handle that. Jihadists, when they are prosecuted, will make threats. The mafia, when they were prosecuted, would make threats. I have a good friend, goes back to high school, a buddy of mine, he and his wife, and he was a worked for the Justice Department in a very, very select team of a few people who, believe it or not, went around the country, including up to Alaska, and helped try cases where the judge was killed or injured. There was a judge up in Alaska who was blown up, and it's a specialty. In New York, what they did is they found a guy, a federal judge named Duffy, who is rock solid, and he agreed to take all jihadist cases. And the government got him a home in Connecticut and a lot that was secure. And then they put intense security there. His kids had security going to schools. And they assigned him all the jihadist cases. Another possibility, and this is the one that I would propose, because in Wisconsin, for instance, there's a law, but not all states have it, that if the prosecutor doesn't think that he should go forward, you can appeal to a judge. And if the judge thinks the prosecutor made a mistake, he will appoint a special prosecutor, a private lawyer with prosecution experience to do it. And that's happened in Milwaukee right now. But that's all very cumbersome. I think that the way to handle this is for the Attorney General Garland and the state attorney general here, Josh Call, appoint one person who is not subject to political pressure to make decisions on prosecution if local DAs won't do it. Or in the case of Merrick Garland, local prosecutors won't do it. And that individual can't be recalled because he doesn't run for re-election. You provide all the security you need. And that individual has a team, like the team my friend is on, the Justice Department that investigates physical attacks on judges, and they prosecute the case. But right now, if we go into the 2024 elections and Merrick Garland doesn't prosecute anybody except a few people like Bannon for blowing off a subpoena, and nobody in New York prosecutes Trump for putting in fraudulent valuations on his property for 10 years, and nobody prosecutes Trump in Atlanta for extorting Brad Raffensperger because of death threats against the prosecutor, you are going to end up with Trump as the nominee. And you can say, well, Joe Biden can beat Trump, but they'll attack Kamala Harris and they will lie. And then Trump will say, I would have been tough on Putin, even when he's talking to Putin and urging him to give dirt on Hunter Biden in the middle of a genocide. And he will take us out of all our European alliances and hurt us around the world. And don't discount the possibility that he could win that election. And very soon in this state, let me be blunt, you've seen Gableman, you've seen Voss, your electors for president are going to be picked by a gerrymandered legislature, by Voss. What you say in the election doesn't matter. And very soon, you're not going to be voting for Secretary of State, Treasurer, Attorney General, or even superintendent of public instruction. They'll be appointed by a governor. And when a Rebecca Clayfish gets in, God forbid, the Duchess of Foxconn, you know who they'll be. They'll be Gablemans. And you're sitting by tolerating that possibility. It's time to go to war in a nonviolent way. It's time to understand that our democracy is being attacked by a fascist party. And the few stalwarts in the Republican Party that have held out, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, have my utmost admiration, but the rest of them folded like a cheap suit. Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, the senators, the governors, all they care about is strutting around in public and being big men, and they just as easily do it as part of a fascist party, as part of a party that followed the example of Washington, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. Going to the lines, Millie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Millie?
Hi. I think probably what's being missed often in a discussion with Putin is that Putin is part of a large global mafia operation. And this goes back to when the Soviet Union fell. And you have, at this point, the Russians, who are run primarily by organized crime, with Putin as a leader, but not the top leader, they have nuclear weapons. They have their tentacles all over the world, including, of course, with Trump being one of their assets. But the Russian intelligence has had their tentacles in Washington, throughout the U.S. and Eastern Europe for a long time, and they are experts at misinformation, at how to be criminals within democratic systems to destroy those systems. And to me, this is probably one of the most unsettling parts of Putin's strength, is that he's not just a political leader. He's part of a large international criminal organization with nukes.
You know, I couldn't have said it better myself, and that's exactly right. They flooded Facebook, they flooded Twitter, they flood disinformation, and everybody goes, oh, well, it's all the far right, OAN, One America Now, Fox, and so forth. QAnon. Well, it's not just that. Yes, it's a big part of it. Yes, Tucker Carlson's part of it. Yes, Trump is unfortunately a big part of it because he was a Russian agent when he was in the White House. He would meet with the Russians and not let an American, not even anybody in his own cabinet in. He would use Putin's translator. He wouldn't even have his own. He would confiscate his translator's notes and he'd destroy documents. And he said he would take us out of NATO. And Putin was waiting for that to happen if he got reelected. But you're right. Putin may be the head of the snake, but the snake is powerful and will grow a new head when he is taken out of power. And it is the oligarchs. It is all these people who, when the Soviet Union fell apart, they gave up communism and they went capitalist. They didn't go real capitalist. They went organized crime. And what happened was they're stealing about 80% of the trade surplus and the wealth of Russia. And they won't let up, and they have their tentacles in the Republican Party right now, and they have their tentacles in Washington. Millie, thank you very, very much for a very...
I pray you don't look at me, I pray I don't look back.
All right, well, we are coming to the end of the Matt Flynn Direct Show, so I think Matt is having a little bit of a technical difficulty, but thank you again so much for calling in and joining us for the conversation. We will see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM, as well as the Devil Radio 92.7 FM. And we will see you again tomorrow.
Never
thanks, everyone.
Me a name. They just gave me the number.